The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. On October 3rd of last year, I received a pleasant letter from the Executive Vice President and Chief Physician Executive of WellSpan Health, informing me that the corporation values the opportunity to provide me with exceptional care for all of my health needs. Then, I was told that despite WellSpan's best efforts, they regret to inform me that they were unable to reach an agreement with Humana Medicare Advantage, my insurance provider. And unless I switch my insurance to one that they accept by the end of the year, I should go elsewhere for someone else's exceptional care. So that is what I did. I moved on. I was not going to change my pension-related health insurance for a variety of reasons, though I could have done so, frankly. Now, I wasn't exactly pleased by this turn of events. Certain changes can make a person uncomfortable, but I understand. Business is, after all, business. And so it was time for me to be moving on. Now, I wasn't exactly pleased because I had to leave a doctor I had come to trust with my health care over approximately the last 15 years. And we had a fine professional relationship. I had broken him in, so to speak. For example, after a few years of him telling me to lose weight, he finally realized that I wasn't listening, and so he stopped telling me to do that. And I knew some of the other people, of course, in the offices in the building. I knew where the lab was. I was familiar with all the procedures. I felt accepted. I felt safe. Frankly, I was just plain comfortable with the former Maslin Associates. So now my primary care provider is in the Penn State system. They, of course, will accept my insurance, at least for now, I guess. I had my first appointment a couple of weeks ago with a nurse practitioner. I never had one of those before, though my niece is one, and I've been told by my golfing buddies that they are wonderful primary care providers, and of course my golfing buddies know everything. And my nurse practitioner is a she. I've only ever had male MDs in my life, only male. I was shaken to my very core by this moving on business. Things were going so very well. In today's gospel reading, we find Jesus and his disciples just as they are leaving the synagogue in the town of Capernaum. We heard at last Sunday's worship service that Jesus on the Sabbath had taught in that synagogue, and the people were astounded by his teaching because he didn't teach them as the scribes did. So also, it was told in the synagogue that day that a man was healed. An unclean spirit was driven out of him with the simple words, "Be silent," come out of him. Now, the people were amazed as they questioned if this be a new authoritative teaching. There's little doubt that words of admiration about Jesus would quickly be spreading through the town. But the Sabbath wasn't over yet. Now Jesus was off to the house of Simon, Peter, and Andrew, along with James and John. Here Jesus learned that Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. And so Jesus went to her and took her by the hand and lifted her up. The fever was gone. And as soon as she could, then she was around waiting on them, serving them. In a small town like Capernaum, you just couldn't keep news like what Jesus had done from spreading. And now a crowd gathered outside Simon Peter's house with the hope that Jesus might heal them. And Jesus healed many of them who were sick with various diseases. By this time, Jesus must have been famous enough in the town to have received all of the praise and acclaim any human being could possibly desire. Early in the morning of the next day, Jesus went out to a deserted place to pray. After a while, Peter and some of the other disciples found Jesus, and they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." They were most likely telling Jesus that it was time to go back into town and enjoy some more of that attention that they were getting. After all, Jesus had it made back in Capernaum, and the disciples enjoyed the attention associated with Jesus. By association, you see, they were big shots too. But Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And the disciples' bubble, no doubt, burst. Jesus wasn't about acclaim, the notoriety. He was willing to give it up and try something new. Perhaps he came to that decision when he was out there in a deserted place praying. Jesus had spent some time in Capernaum, and it had become comfortable there. There was every reason to stay, little reason to move on. Who in their right mind would leave a situation where they were well known, respected, in short, comfortable for who knows what? But Jesus was a man of action, always on the move, always preaching, always teaching, always healing. With Jesus, everything was always as soon as our reading begins today. His was a divine mission in which something is always happening. Something or someone is always moving on. In Scripture, Abram was perfectly happy living in the land of Haran. But God told him to leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house and follow him to a land as yet unknown. That would be uncomfortable. Should have heard what his wife said to him. Slavery was not a great way of life for the Hebrews, but at least they knew what to expect. Yet they followed Moses into the wilderness because they believed that that was God's will for them. The disciples, men like Peter, were perfectly content being fishermen until the day Jesus came along and invited them to leave their nets and follow him. It is the way God encourages us to live, to get moving on as soon as possible, even into as yet unknown adventures. But perhaps healthier situations await us than we are now living. Stories of physical curing in the gospel, according to Mark, are not just about the individual being restored to physical health, but also serve as a sign of the kingdom of God breaking in. For our God wills health and wholeness for his children. All the New Testament accounts of Christ curing the sick point to a deeper, greater gift, something more essential for our lives than physical wellness, and that would be the forgiveness of sin. At the core of what ails us is sin. The barrier that cuts us off from God, from others, from the image of God in which we were created, and from living our lives in that very image. What good is a healthy body if the inner life is darkened by the demons of selfishness, idolatry, disobedience to God's will, and a lack of courage to travel the roads God lays out before us? This is the true meaning of Jesus' healing signs. People are made whole through the grace of Christ. With sins forgiven, healing has come to the essence of who we are, and we are given peace. The isolation is gone. It's gone. God has drawn near, and we can then draw near again to others. Healing is more than curing. Curing is a blessed relief, and we rightly pray for it, no doubt about it. But in God's wisdom and mercy, Christ has granted us a healing as well. Lutheran pastor Marcus Feldy writes this in his work entitled Summary of Healing Rites. This was part of a larger document prepared for the Lutheran World Federation Department of Theology and Studies. He writes this: we must distinguish between healing and curing. Healing refers to what God would like to have happen to all of us. We are sick, broken, in bondage in many different ways, but we are in need of a common salvation. The biblical understanding of healing will include, as of first importance, attention to the restoration of a person's dignity. The dignity conferred in baptism and underlined at the Eucharistic table is threatened when a person is ill. A Christian healing rite must work to reassure that dignity. Quarterly, we here at First Lutheran incorporate a portion of the healing service into our worship. We, of course, pray for physical cures for ourselves and others, but the crux of the matter, the real thing for which we pray, is revealed in the words offered at the time of the anointing with oil. In the name of God and trusting in his might alone, receive Christ's healing touch. May Christ bring you wholeness of body, mind, and spirit, deliver you from every evil. Don't miss that part, and bring you his peace. Jesus, after curing many who were sick with various diseases in Capernaum, said to his disciples, let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do. And as soon as he said this, he and his disciples went throughout Galilee, even though it was not the most comfortable thing that they could be about at the moment. They did it because everyone needs to be healed, to repent, not just those in Capernaum. And every day we followers of Christ need to be changing, always moving on because we need to be changed, to repent, to be healed as well. For God is not always pleased with our lives or what is going on in the world today. This lifestyle of always being ready to move on is a disconnect with the status quo. It flies in the face of our lack of forgiving others, the numbness to and content with wars, hunger, injustice, and prejudices, the comfortableness we have grown so accustomed to. It is truly a counterculture rebellious way of life, and the wonder of it all is that in Jesus, God is working to change us all of the time, to help us repent and move on as soon as possible, not because our lives depend upon it, but because our living of what we have been given, our very life, through the cross, through the empty tomb, does depend on it. Amen.